I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
And back for another week, previewing, should I say. I've got mixed up between last night and round seven of the NRL with Timmy Witt. How you doing, brother?
I'm well, mate. How you been? How's your week?
Mate, my week hasn't been too bad, to be honest. But I guess reading react straight away, I'm going to ask the question. James Fisher-Harris. And the news today that came out that he's going to the Warriors as of next year as a Panther man, how does that make you feel?
Mixed emotions. Firstly, like I probably chalk him up to be the best prop in Panthers history. I think, you know, what he's done for the club and equally probably what the club did for him early doors is unparalleled in the history of Panthers. And whilst it's a shame, I think for what he's done for the club and the platform that he's set for a lot of the props coming through, it's, you know, family comes first. And I think if anyone's earned a release on the grounds of compassionate leave and wants to return home to raise his family in New Zealand, I don't think anyone at Panthers are arguing. I think we're just a bit, you know, potentially upset. It's one of these things. You've seen that he recently lost his grandfather and had gone home for the funeral. And, you know, obviously that's probably weighed on him and the opportunity to go back and for the Warriors to be able to accommodate. I think he goes with everyone's blessing. I think, as I said, he's certainly my favourite probably forward in the history of the Panthers. I think what he lays and what he brings in aggression and toughness, he's been a real catalyst for the success that we've had for the last 4 or 5 years. But he was like that when he started as a real young guy too, 18, like from the get-go. He's never taken a backward step and he's led the way for Penrith. And it sucks in that sense. But, you know, if anyone's earned it, it's him. It's a tough one for fans, but yeah, good luck to him and his family.
Yeah, I think I'm with you. I can't think of probably a more consistent player of the past, you know, decade or so that he's been involved with the club, especially during the harder part of the transition between, you know, blooding that group that he come through in, and then they went through the hook, and then you had that year with Ivan when he first come back where they did that sort of restructure. You look at that sort of period, like once he got his foot in the door, he's just been gradually better and better and better. But yeah, and in terms of that period of time, I think I'm with you. He'd have to be the best prop that's played for the Panthers, or close to one of the best forwards that's ever played for the Panthers, bar, I know, Lukey Lewis left and like his career in general, but like a few guys there, you know, he was more a centre winger, like his back row transition come afterwards. Yeah. But yeah, there wouldn't be many better middle or edge players or anyone in the pack that's played for the Panthers.
Look, you've heard through different media things. I know him and Moses were on a podcast just over Christmas and they talked about the impact that like sort of Zane Tedovano had when he came back and was with the Panthers in 2020 and
no
the aggression that he brought and the lesson that the Panthers got taught by your boys laid that thing. But all you've heard from all the other players within the Panther system is that Fisher-Harris was the one at training. It's not even on the field. It's the off the field stuff. It's the shit behind the scenes where he's really probably had the most influence. I would argue he's probably the most respected prop in the game across the entire competition. At no point in time would anyone at Penrith want him to leave. But as I said, it's family first. And, mate, he came over as a 15 or 16-year-old and lived in the horse stables out at Mulgoa, like it's between our two places. Like it's pretty rugged out there. And him and I think it was Corey Hoianira were out there and came over from New Zealand. So, you know, he put a pound of flesh in early doors and earned his stripes on the field, and he's just been amazing as a fan. Like, you know, you thank him for all the time and effort that he's done. We've still got the rest of this season, but as you know, mate, family first, and being able to get home. And while it sucks for Penrith fans, I mean, what a great pickup by the Warriors is the real thing. Me trying to be neutral in this, and so I should, is fantastic pickup by the Warriors and Webster, and what he's cultivating there, and picking up some old heads in, recently with Capewell and Barnett, and keeping Johnson around, and now you get Fisher Harris, and that gap of Fenua Blake leaving is filled and then some, because it's the off the field and the training paddock and the culture stuff. And Cleary talked about the culture and what he's brought to the culture of the Panthers. He talked about that more than, how many hit ups and tackle busts and all that sort of stuff. He talked about what he does, and it's a huge pickup of the Warriors. And yeah, they it's fucking crazy, because at the start of the year we're talking about how this year they're going to be stronger. I'm already looking at them next year going, what if it doesn't shake out? So congrats to them. Commiserations to us Penrith fans. But yeah, I'd wish the fish well. Nothing short of it.
Well, I think the big thing here now is just the market. Market's pretty slim. Like for the Warriors, when I heard that Fenua Blake wanted to leave, I thought you're not going to be able to replace him. But that was before this situation, which nobody obviously saw coming. But for them to have Fenua Blake, who I think, is probably in terms of the combination of size, speed, skills, and a prop right up there to get somebody with Fish who's maybe not as dynamic, but you want to talk about leader, now the New Zealand captain. The culture impact you're talking about, they're building already a very good culture. But to inject him now when he's just taken that mantle as New Zealand captain at age 28 after winning three comps when they're trying to get there. If it doesn't happen this year, next year, the only two players they have off contract right now are Sean Johnson and Jazz Tavunga. And the way that Sean Johnson's playing, I'm sure he'll probably go around again pending, health this year. So if they don't win a comp now, I think they're going to have basically zero change and swap Fish for Fenua Blake. They're in a very good position moving into next year again.
Yeah, and you touched on Johnson. Like, okay, if it doesn't shake out this year and you look at next year, you're a long time retired, and it'd only come down to physical fitness. Financially, he'd be taking a haircut to keep people around and playing one more year and going like that. I think he's getting better with age, a bit like DCE. And if you can go around again, then why not? But when you get Fisher Harris, as you said, New Zealand captain, I think some of the stuff around what, obviously his country and the culture meant to him was really telling after that Pacifica series last year, where he was talking about, like, it's the changing of the guard. New Zealand's not taking a backward step. Like, it's obviously what he's been able to do for his country. It means that they get that for 27 rounds a year now, the Warriors. Like, that is monstrous. And so I think if SJ stays around, you touched on the market stuff for me. Like, if I'm trying to take a positive out of this, is it frees up a substantial amount of money within Penrith's team. We cannot replace a Gary Bertier. Like, it's one of these things where does it mean Penrith can now keep Tito on the wing? Does he go from 350 to 500, and the money going out to the Dragons or any other clubs in the interest is really moot? How dry is that ink on Tyrrell's May's contract at the Roosters? We need the 10 days here. Can you lure him out? Are the Roosters going to flick Spencer or something like that coming back? So I think all of those conversations now will be played out in the media and the tabloids for the next 2, 3 months. At your top of the conversation, mate, I don't think anyone saw this coming. I dare say it's moved awfully quickly, and it is what it is now. And the market's going to get a shake up, not from a prop side of things. I don't think you can replace Fisher Harris, and I don't think anyone in the market is for the price. But what it does with Penrith's recruitment and retention, I think they've just got to make the most of this opportunity and see what either they can pick up or keep on board, whether it's a Lindsay Smith, Liam Henry, the next guys coming through, whether there's some cup guys pushing at other clubs who aren't getting a chance. All of that's in front of Matt Cameron and Ivan Cleary at the moment. But the first thing's probably seeing this year out for the fish, because if anyone deserves four, it's him.
Well, I guess now I'll talk around the motivation around Luai. Now you've got Fisher Harris. Like I think for Penrith every year when you're trying to find a reason to get up or trying to find something within your group, and particularly the core group, for the younger guys, I don't think it's too hard to want to get on board because when you get to come into an environment like that that's winning and has those players, like generally your energy level is already sky high, especially if you don't have a ring. But for those other guys to look internally, I think things have just gone up another notch with him. Not saying they weren't for Luai, but I think you've seen the reaction again from Penrith fans and the players, particularly today, with what's happened, a lot of people are generally torn, been mixed about it. I haven't seen a negative thing said about Fish or this situation. I think everybody there just he respects totally what he's doing. But for the Warriors, yeah, I was a bit rattled when I saw Fenua Blake was gone. But when this broke today, I was just like, dear Lord, that couldn't have worked out any better. That really couldn't have worked out any better. So it's
Yeah, and that's no disrespect to Fenua Blake. As you said, I think his
no.
footwork, ball skills, and the way that he gets through the line is second to none. But yeah, it's the whole that Fisher Harris is going to leave at training and that thing going there. And I think that's the thing is the respect that he's not only had for the Panthers, but the Panthers and all the supporters in the community and it's all come out today. There hasn't been a oh, you're going for the wrong reasons, or it's a money grab. Like he's straight up going home for family, and
And he's
you're a
already
real
making money. It's
dickhead
not like
to have
he's
a
going
stab at
for a
that. And
contract he
it,
didn't already have.
yeah, exactly. So it's yeah, look, it sucks at the moment. I'm sure it'll get a lot of work in the media for the next few weeks, particularly as the market shake up. But we press on, mate. There's a few games this weekend.
Right, let's jump in. Thanks to bluebet.com.au. If you're going to have a bet with anyone, make sure you do it with the True Blue Bookie. Download the app today or visit the website. Last week, looking back, there were some pretty good picks in there. So hopefully some people, if they followed a couple of them, got himself a bit of cashola. I got a couple of goodies. I had to absolutely sweat out and nearly break my flat screen with the last game when I thought Canberra were going to throw it down the road because I did an eight leg up with our pick the lines and a few try scorers. Schiller scored first play. I was like, this is awesome. I'm on here. And then when it went to Golden Point, I was pacing around the house back and forth like, oh no. Oh no, they're going to ruin me. They're going to ruin me. But they got it done, thank God. But Cheese, you tipped in. We had Stefano, Sewer. There was a couple of real good ones there, like fives and plus. So some good
I
odds.
thought, yeah, a couple of the early ones, the outsiders, Roosters into a couple of try scorers, thought. But Parramatta improves as well. So, hey, look, there it's the opinions of two idiots in Penrith sitting here having a chin wag. We'll see if we can find another couple this week, my friend.
Let's see if we can line our pockets and everyone else's with bluebet.com.au. First game we've got here, Rooster Storm. Looking forward to this one, despite both being in mixed form. It's been a game that's generally always gone down to the wire. Two teams, much like the Penrith Storm thing now. I think the Penrith, sorry, the Storm Roosters has sort of, stretched through the late teens into the 20s, a couple of prelims and grand finals that were contested. So looking forward to it, but in terms of changes between these two or anything here for the Storm, Tepuai Moroa and Tui Kamakamika are both out. So Nelson comes back in for his first game of the year. And Joe Chan, after the hand issue, is back on board. I'm assuming he'll play middle off the bench. I've even heard Bellamy say originally that while he's playing an edge and he's got leg speed, he thinks that's probably his best spot, which I think at the moment we certainly need anything that's got leg size and speed. For the Roosters, bit of a reshuffle there. Walker was named outside the 21. People were starting to draw lines of controversy again, like last year, but that wasn't the case. He had lingering, symptoms of his concussion and has been consequently ruled out today. So Connor Watson maintains the six. Satili, obviously, another one with a head knock. He's out. So Egan Butcher comes in and Teddy reshuffles into the back for Manu to go to the centres. It's in Sydney. These are generally close and very physical, but I find this one hard to get a read on, to be honest, because the Roosters we've talked about for me are still their own worst enemy. They did it again last week. First 15 minutes, I was sitting there going, oh, they're going to get pumped. They're just getting rolled over. And then when they clicked into gear, they did the complete opposite to Newcastle. Their middle was just completely gouged to pieces and they played off the back of it. And back end again, they lapsed for a little bit, but Melbourne on the flip, bar the Penrith game where they defended for their lives for 80 minutes, have managed to pull three out of their backside in the last minute and have been a bit hot and cold themselves. So, yeah, I find it hard to draw a line of form. So, I'm probably looking at this one more than what we've talked about a few last week. This is one where I'm looking at the either team by less than 12 and a half or 10 and a half, and you probably get yourself $1.50, $1.60. Then in terms of try scoring sort of patches, I thought Nelson would have been in last week. The fact he's in this week, I hope he's mad as hell. I really do. So I'm getting a bit of a read that hopefully he just goes mental for potentially 30 minutes. And the other one who's coming into some great form, which is good to see after some trouble, Angus Crichton is looking very sharp again. So that
Yeah.
Melbourne right has been opened up the last few weeks. I think Crichton might be not too bad value punching a hole in that edge.
Yeah, mate, I might be a little bit more pointed. I'm actually going to tip the Roosters in this one. You're spot on in the fact that they still didn't play for 80 minutes last week. As you said at the start, I thought they were going to get carved up by the Knights early doors. And then I thought once they did click into gear, I thought, any 1-12 bets that I had going on were in real, real trouble of the Knights. And they're still sort of fading in and fading out. But the simplification of the game last week, and the forwards going through the middle, I think, was a big takeout. And while they get Tedesco back and Manu, I said getting the ball in his hands for me was what tipped them in my favor last week. I still see the same thing. They've got the momentum now. Like, if Manu runs for 300, Teddy's going to run for 200. They're just going to get on the roll of the back of that. I thought what happened with Connor Watson was, I thought he played pretty well. I thought he was pretty decent
He
in
just
the
does his
touches that he
job.
had, because it was really simple and he didn't have to do a great deal. It's in the forwards for me again. I just think, as you said, Tupanua moves out and Nat Butcher comes in and starts. I actually think the back three here, within the last 2 years, is probably the preferred back row, in my opinion. I would have had Tupanua or Wong coming off the bench, Butcher, Crichton, and Radley when they're peak. So the fact that they slide one out and comes back in here, I'm going to go with the Roosters. On the flip side, really wasn't impressed with Melbourne, and last week, and credit to the Dogs because it was all effort, and it's a shame that they sort of did let it go and what have you. But I don't know about your take, mate, but I've actually thought that since Munster's come back, they've looked. I know he's working himself into form and he's coming back from injury, but I felt like Melbourne was sort of playing a better brand of football when Hughes had complete control and the ball was in his hand, and it was either Pezzett or even Wishart in one or two of those games where the job was there. Hughes could jump on either side and control. He was almost playing like, whilst he's in the seven, it was like he was playing as the attacking 5-8, but he was getting double the amount of touches. I've just thought, like, with Munster coming back, they've gone a little bit too sideways. It's a little bit uncreative, and the points haven't been there. And I just think in a real ding dong battle, I'm going to tip the Roosters, and I like the Roosters 1-12. If I was going to go, I don't think it's going to be a blowout. I think both teams have far too much respect, for the opposition and for themselves to let that sort of happen. The one market that I did think could be some value, and it's not usually my go-to, but the total points is 39 and a half. I think it could actually be under that. I said that the lack of sort of creativity with Melbourne, and both teams really aiming up on defense and effort. It might be a bit of a low scorer, 18-16 sort of type arrangement where, even at times the Roosters last week, whilst they scored four, it came off, the Cheese's try was saw an opportunity and popped up. I don't think Melbourne's going to give them that opportunity is where my head's at. So I think it's going to be a tight game, potentially a low scoring affair, but I actually like the Roosters more than Melbourne. As you said, they've pulled three out of the absolute back door late. And you're going to run out of luck sooner rather than later. And I think the Roosters forwards present better on paper. And if they can just play for at least 60, 65 minutes as opposed to 50 minutes, I think that's where it's going to be. So yeah, the Chooks are going to get my nod, mate, but in a tight one.
Yeah, I think to the point you're making, when Pezzett or Wishart or whoever's there, they're just playing service essentially, and Hughes gets to run and steer and link with Pappenhausen, and where when it's him and Munster, they sort of split the field. I don't know
Yeah.
if they overcall at times or play against each other, but sometimes it can feel like, there's games where both of them really, really want the ball. Sometimes they step on each other's toes. There's other games where you look and one's not there and the other is. It's having the Australian six and the New Zealand seven. They don't always work
Yeah.
in great cohesion all the time. Whereas when there's one there, particularly like I said with Hughes, who you know is the dominant player, with someone like a Pezzett, Pezzett's a genuine old school number seven. I'll kick, I'll control, I'll steer. Probably more what you've seen from the Dragons so far. Like, people can say what they want about Flanagan. Flanagan knows how to get a team around the field, get to the points, kick, and freeze up Ben Hunt. And there's no mistake as to why Ben Hunt's leading the try assist and playing good football. He's stress free. He's not thinking about the kick and he's not thinking about where the team's going. I think when they're both there, at times things can get a bit loose, and it sort of goes in patches. Like you see some real good football, you see some real bland football at times, you see some errors. But yeah, I think it's probably still going to take a few weeks, hopefully, if they can stay on the field. And with Pap, like they haven't really all played together essentially for the last 3 years. Like Pap's missed the majority. Hughes had a couple of minor injuries. Munster's obviously missed some games as well. Then you've got Origin in the mix. Like it realistically hasn't been this spine as these four players that are there for, much of the past couple of seasons. So I'm really hoping they can string, all these games together leading into Origin at least, and try and see what it looks like by mid-season.
And to that point, I've just seen probably too much play breakdown. The Roosters are also guilty of it. Like when
Oh.
Tedesco starts jinking too far sideways, and I thought that's what sort of improved. Even in some of the earlier games this year, when he sort of jumped out of the blocks, he was going through as
Right, yeah.
opposed to jinking side to side, play breaks down, all momentum rolls off. Whereas Manu last week, I thought just went, I'm just going to take this and run and go forward. And that's for me the blueprint. With the forward pack they've got, I think it leaves, it's second to none with a lot of other teams in the comp. It's just, are they going to put in? But the simplification of Kiri's game with Watson just doing that catch and pass, and he's a tough little bugger too. So like he took some shots the other night, and he's equally going to run. I think that the trick is run, run, run here. But just found the Storm, particularly with Munster, like that play breaks down far too often because you're going sideways without going forward. And when it was just one man in Hughes doing that, and he was able to link in, I just thought it freed them up. So, like to your point, mate, they're probably a few weeks away from their best, but I think both teams have got to put in an 80-minute performance. Melbourne certainly didn't do it last week. How they got out of jail there, the Brisbane game was absolutely freakish, but at equally there were some bomb tries by the Bronx as well. So, I think it could be a nice little feeling out affair. Big boys really getting into it, but yeah, I've got the Roosters just mate. I think. Because of many time try scorers, I do like your pick of Angus Crichton. I even think that play where the cheese comes out of nine and just throws that face ball to someone going in under the stick. So you might even see a big flopper like a Lindsay Collins, or I thought who's also been Nafo White coming on. I thought he's
Yeah,
had some
good
big
impact.
impacts as well. So given a low scoring affair, I think, yeah, wouldn't be betting too hard on this one, but I think, yeah, maybe one of the big boys crossing over. If the Roosters can soften them up in the front, there might be a chance. But yeah, I might just take the old 1-12, old school head to head, TAB style back in the day, sitting down at Southlands. But we'll see how we get on.
Bring back that tab. I'm with you. Probably the last thing for me, just the Roosters, even like that Penrith game. I thought for 70 minutes they tried to play sideways, sideline to sideline, too structured. Whereas with Manu, it basically last week for me revived the spirit of 2017, 2018, Luke Keary. Luke Keary just read, react, played straight, got the ball where it needed to go. He even looked a completely different player. So I know with Teddy they play different, but I'm hoping they can loop Manu in still. Get him some touches. Also, Suaalii going to the wing. Their back three was just meters. They almost combined the three of them for 800. So they do that against Melbourne, and they're a bit lighter on their middle rotation. I think, they should be able to win field position if they can be disciplined. So we'll see what happens. But with bluebet.com.au, they are the slight outsiders at the moment. It started a pick 'em, but the Roosters at the moment with Bluebet, $1.95. The Storm, $1.85. You get a 1.5 start. For the Chookies, 1-12, as you said, is 310 and 305. Roosters Storm. Those try scorers, obviously, you got your regulars who are a bit shorter. I like Manu any week when he's in, and playing the football he's playing. He's been fantastic. So he's at 287. But those other picks we sort of talked about getting more into the odds, like Angus Crichton, you get 450. I think the cheese as well, if they
Excellent.
can punch the middle, like he's another one. He's going to be wanting to get some sort of impact. I think the first few games last year against Melbourne, he was a non-factor, but last week he looked on. So I don't think he would be a bad shout at fives either. But Nelson, first game in, hopefully got his angry boots on, $6.50. So.
Yeah. And look, now that I've put it out there too, Lindsay Collins and Nafo White are both at nine. So now that I've put it out there, it's. Gonna have to get a little taste just to keep me interested, but Yeah, the cheese at fives, he's a try sneak, and he'll be up against his old team. I know he's been there for 2 years now, going on 2 years, but that's good value. But yeah, you touched on it before. I think Angus Crichton's come back to some form and getting him into position back to be a starter. And you just want to see him playing some good footy after, his issues over the last sort of 18 months. But yeah, $4.50 or $5 for him and the cheese, yeah, respectable. But Big Lindsay at nines. Stranger things have happened.
Yep, a couple of middles Thursday night might be a bit dewy, so a bit more of a middle-centric game. But we move on 6 p.m. Friday at Wynn, Warriors Dragons. Last year, this was a bloodbath. I remember the Warriors right side just absolutely tearing them to shreds. The Dragons can see signs of the Flanagan effect. I know they've been a bit up and down week to week, but if I'm a Dragons fan again, I'd be pretty happy with what I've seen so far, considering the late takeover, minimal free agents, minimal movements. Like he's made a fair bit happen in a short space of time with that team. And even the Lomax thing, I know it's finally sorted and he's leaving, but he's playing his best football, whether he likes playing on the wing or not. You can't say Flanagan's been wrong about that so far. He's been a world beater off the wing and impacting games. So this one will be interesting. But for the Dragons, Bird is out this week, so Lomax gets a crack at centre. Be interested to see what impact he can have from that position, especially this week of all weeks after it's been sorted that he's going. Christian Tuipulotu gets his debut for the Dragons on the wing, coming over from Manly. He's been scoring bags of tries in cup. And then the other change is for the Warriors, Jazz Tabunga, hamstring only after 9 minutes making an impact. Adam Pompey has come onto the bench. I looked at their extended squad. I'm not saying they will do it because they can play Pompey as a centre and edge if they wanted to push somebody in like a Barney to steal some middle minutes because he's a bigger body. But Zion Mahu is a young prop. They've got big wraps on. They played him in the trials. He's a very angry human being. I thought this might be a possibility for a late inclusion to get an extra middle, but obviously no guarantee. So I'm keeping my eyes on that one. But what's your thoughts on this one, mate?
Mate, I went and saw a band the other week around the corner from Wynn. Jeez, it's a rugged little old stadium down there in Wollongong. It is a bit of a happy hunting ground for the Dragons, and I mean they can sort of get up for this, but just taking a look at the odds here quickly for BlueBet, the Warriors are $1.45, the Dragons are $2.75. Look, my money's going to go with the Warriors, and it may be a bit of history repeating here in the fact that I think it will be their right-hand edge where the points are going to come again. I think with the shift with so Lomax was a centre and he's been on the wing, I get that, but between Tuipulotu and Ravalawa on the wings, I think it could be a bit of a feeding frenzy if the Warriors catch the Dragons lapsing at any stages. I thought the Dragons' effort last week was improved, and they've sort of at times shown glimpses. But on the other hand, the Warriors are battle hardened, and that game against Manly last week, whilst they both came away with a share of the spoils. In hindsight, I got Manly sitting well and truly entrenched in the top eight. And I think the quality of opposition that the Warriors have faced and what they've done with that just probably shades the Dragons here. And the only thing probably bringing them back to the fold for me is the fact that is at Wynn. But I've got the Warriors winning this one. I think, been on them since the start of the season. I think at $1.45, this is the sort of game coming into that sort of environment where you're going to want to see a big turnout. Not to say they're going to be buoyed by the signing of Fisher Harris. He's not in the sheds yet or anything else, but there's just a lot to like about what the Warriors are doing. And once again, we talked at the start of the year about which games have you circled for. These are the ones you need to win. Same again, expecting the Dragons to be outside that eight. You got to do this in their backyard. And I actually think, Watini Zalesniak and Berry, real, real big chances just to lay even maybe one or two on. And I think cutting the Dragons to ribbons, particularly on that right-hand edge, all the dirty work's going to be through the middle. I see the real key player in this in being Egan and then Martin and Johnson. He's up against Little. The Dragons have shown little bits of it, but what that combination for the Warriors is going to do now that Metcalf's out. We saw it against Souths the other week. I think Egan's come on leaps and bounds in a few years, and I just think the middle management through the forwards and what Egan can do out of nine there will set them up. And then once the Dragons sort of compress in, I think it's cannon fodder on the outside edges. So I think for me, yet to probably really settle on who would be the try scorers, but I think those fringe players, I think there's going to be options either side throughout the early part of that evening. DWZ and Rocco Berry on that right hand side for me are probably where I'd start to spill some cash. But yeah, I've got the Warriors winning this one, mate. I probably wouldn't dare going a margin at the moment. I think it could be really ugly, and at the same time, a matched effort from the Dragons in their backyard. But yeah, Warriors too strong, mate.
Yeah, I'm happy, like I said, with the blue bet, $1.45 if you're a multi-man like I am. If you can get a same gamer on or anything like that, could go Warriors into somebody, but $1.45, Dragons 2.75, 6.5 is the start. I've got a few similar to you, but I've gone two probably others. I think the right edge is big, but I like you said, the middle. I think the Dragons have had big lapse periods, whereas the Warriors have been very consistent, even with the losses and the draw. Over the 80, showing that they're willing to be patient, play through the middle, get dropouts and bank. And I just think with Finnell Blake, Tohu, Barney, etc., that they've got a better middle and Egan being there. So there's two that I sort of like off the back of them hopefully opening up the Dragons' middle. I like Jackson Ford on the left against his old club. He's been in good try scoring form, but getting out that way, possibly at Flanagan and trying to get inside him. And the other one's Chance. Chance has been 2 games back off a major hamstring injury, they were worried about him. The bloke's almost carded 30 times both games for 300 plus, but just being around the ball, he'll also be involved on some of those right side shifts. Wouldn't surprise me if he finds his way over as well. So I love the wingers like you. They're a great bet, especially Dallin. But trying to find a little bit more meat on the bone, they're probably the two that sort of stared at me a little bit. So Dallin, like you said, $1.72. I know it's less than, but they're right side is where they like to play to, especially with Chance back in that now in the mix. But Chance himself, he's 320. Rocco Berry, like you said, 350. So they're both pretty good pops there. And Jackson Ford's still $4. So don't mind him at all. But on the flip for the Dragons, I like the combination that Sue is starting to build. He was a right side player. They've started to roll him on the left. If he was on the right, I would have liked him a little bit more, probably going at Tamari Martin, but now he's flipped. I don't know, but probably the one that always stands out for them, and it's purely if he's out the back of shape or space, is just Sloan. So in games where they're longer odds, he's 262. He might only have 8 touches in a game sometime, but if he gets space once, he's just one of those guys that can make stuff happen. So there's probably not a lot there for me with them. Lomax has been in really good form, but now he's a center. Again, you're not going to see those opportunities like you do on the wing. So yeah, I don't have a lot for the Dragons, to be honest.
No, it'd only really be a speculator for me. Possibly Ben Hunt, $4.33. You know, if there's a break made or someone goes through the middle and it opens up, his support play tracking through that middle third is something that may bring it in. But yeah, look, if you're going into a multi across multiple games, I think you know the Warriors head to head and a Dallin or one of the try scorers you'd mentioned is probably where I'd put my cash. If you're going for a same gamer, then you can multi a few of those up. But you know, nothing would shock me here. The Dragons fan, you know, if they did turn up and you know, the old Steel Town delivers, yeah, stranger things have happened. Had a couple of beers at the Steelers Club literally underneath Wynn Stadium the other week, and you know, certainly love their footy, but I just yeah, Warriors for me, mate.
Yeah, well, considering, they got lit up by the Dolphins, didn't expect that, and then they beat Manly. Their form has been very up and down so far, but at win,
Horrible.
definitely good value. But the Warriors win, loss, or draw have been in every single contest so far, and just seem to be building nicely and have absorbed injuries. So, similar to you, I think it's one that they'd look at and think we have to stamp this one. This is one that has to be a W. So, we've got those picks there. But the 8 p.m. game, we move on. Darwin. Bloody hot it's going to be up there. The Eels naturally take a game there every year. This time it's against the Dolphins, so not bad for the Dolphins in terms of travel-wise, but more injuries. It's been an absolute drama for them. Obviously, we know about Felice, Flegler, Farnworth, Cody Nicaragua's name, but they were saying last week he's under a cloud as well. Bloody hell, Milford, that stupid play, got himself into trouble. Hammer tearing his hamstring. So I'm not convinced of Nicorema, the fact they named Sullivan in 15. So I'm getting the feeling he might be a late swap and they might have to bring Val Tavare in and push Averillo maybe to one. But the fact they named Trey Fuller, that changed my mind straight away. So their back line's probably going to stay as is. I thought that might have been the go. Get Averillo on the ball a little bit more. But Eels, Sivo's still missing. Blaze on the bench was an odd one for me. Like when they didn't pick him as a centre when he got pulled out of the halves, I don't see now why he's sort of looking for that coverage. But yeah, he's come back onto the bench, and the only change is Tulagi's into the reserve. So. They're 1-17, otherwise.
And thought last week, Para just, their effort was vastly improved. And I said their forwards came through, and I thought the touches, a bit of a simplification of the game. Like I sort of keep going back to that point, but I thought Dejan Arce was a good foil for Dylan Brown. Like it put the onus on Brown. Not that Brown shouldn't have done that with Tulagi either, but it just really had that platform play off the cuff, and then get it out to your centers, and saw Harper scoring and others in the mix last week. On the flip side, I've got Parramatta winning this contest, and it's really largely in part just to how ruled the Dolphins are. And going back to last week, you talked about whether the hammer always lifts and the hammer's always got a chance, that the hammer's out, and like that's their spark plug for me, particularly with the outs that you mentioned that have gone sort of week to week. This is just death by a thousand cuts for the Dolphins at the moment, and I look at it again. You're still going to get the effort from the Bromwich brothers. I still think Marshall King's a fantastic option at nine. Aitken and Plath are really earning, their wages. They're rolling their sleeves up and having a crack. But I think that engine room of Parramatta is going to do the work again. And at some point, there's going to be a tipping point. And just getting on the back here, I just think Parramatta are going to be too strong. And it is a shame for the Dolphins that they've gone there. To your point earlier about what happens, they've named Trey Fuller, so I don't see him getting named for a debut and then getting risk-sold. If Nick Arima is out, then I think Sullivan may push to six. And I'd be interested to see, I haven't seen much of him this year, Mason Teague either. Young Penrith bloke obviously went up there. He showed some glimpses last year. He's already played some representative football, I believe, for Tonga as well. Haven't seen much of him coming through, but that's probably the one takeout for a Dolphins fan at the moment, is you're getting a look at your stocks, and that's really cold comfort when your big names are going down. And I just think Parramatta would be too strong. As opposed to the market, BlueBet have the head-to-head, the Eels at $1.40 and the Dolphins $2.95. I'd be probably looking at the Eels head-to-head into a try score. And the one that I do like, the line's not too bad, but it's one of these things you don't know who you're going to get, even with a Parramatta situation. The line's at 7.5. Do you take Parramatta at 4.5 and take the unders at around that $1.55, $1.60? But the anytime try scorer that I've got is, I think Gutho is the man. And if there is that tipping point where the Dolphins are going to fade out due to injuries, due to age, due to the conditions, and Parramatta's got the engine room, I just think Gutherson popping up everywhere like he does, going from the full 80 minutes and just going hunting for the ball, I can actually see some value with him as being an anytime try scorer.
And I had that one similar to you. I just sort of thought, I think they've got them outclassed in the middle rotation. I think they could burn them to the ground in that sense if they hold the ball. I know Darwin's a hard place, very sweaty, very hard conditions. But if they grind them out early and sort of do what we said they needed to do to the Cowboys, just be better with the football. I think naturally with what's missing, it'll play to their advantage. And missing the hammer creates a lot of opportunities on the edges, even when they're not going forward, because he's got that ability to get a back row to bite or a center or somebody and pull out of shape and create a 3v2 or something. Generally, it's not happening. Fuller, don't get me wrong, he's a very, very good player and he's very, very quick. But I guess maybe the physical presence or the threat in that regard is not the same. And yeah, just the fact there's another question mark on their halves. Marshall King, to me, is a super underrated nine, but. Yeah, when you've got a guy playing only his second game of NRL at fullback, potentially a late change in your halves. Katoa, who's growing, but it's a big ask when you lose those weapons around you. He'll kick and control, but yeah, I see a typical Dolphins effort. I think they'll be there, but if Parramatta are disciplined enough, their middle should just come over the top of them. And Gutherson's the first one that came to my head. Shit conditions, hard game of football. He'll be an absolute menace like he is left, right, middle, just around the football, buzz around, be an absolute pest. Wouldn't surprise to see him pick up a grubber, pick up an inside ball, or just crash over from somebody slipping off. And the $1.40 too, similar to the one before. If you're going to put a couple of games together, maybe like $1.45, $1.40. There's a few head-to-heads at the moment that I still think are not bad multi-value. And the only other one for me, he's running, hasn't been as big a point, but I think this is a team, and again, in hot conditions, he can succeed in Dylan Brown. He ran a little bit more last week. I think Arcee freed up his headspace a little bit at $3.40. I don't mind him.
I take your point. Like with the Gutherson, like it is those shorties. Like it might be a nice little Friday double if you're still alive after the Warriors Dragons game. $1.40 into Clint Gutherson's even money, $2 for an anytime try scorer. Maybe just package the two games together and bet low. But it was an improved effort by the Eels last week. I think probably a bit of confidence for that back line for the Eels as well, as that Arthur's still keeping Sivo out of the mix. Fan favorite, is more than happy to score the tries at will. But I think the faith that he's putting in the other guys from a defensive point of view, thinking, no, you're still not up to it, Sivo, and he's going to have to bide his time. Particularly a guy like Sean Russell, who I think is a pretty handy winger. I think that's going to do a world of confidence for them. But yeah, it's a shame with all the injuries across both sides. But namely the Dolphins, that we might be robbed of a bit of a spectacle for that game up in Darwin. And credit to the Eels for taking that up there. They've probably been doing that for about 10 or 12 years now. But it's just a shame that injuries are going to cruel the spectacle somewhat, but may have Parramatta winning, mate.
So there's been another good try, Snake. You're speaking of people just week to week. Surprised me. Two hookers that no one really thought about. Lussick's one of them. I think he scored four times now. He could have had a hat trick last week, but he had a couple taken off him. Levi and Canberra's obviously jagged a few as well, but they just seem to have one play the ball every game where they know they've got a chance, and they've both cashed in multiple times. So him at fives again, hot day, shit conditions, similar thought to Gutherson. If they're just overwhelming him, things break down. Surprised me to see him have another lunge. Get someone one-on-one. But yeah, I think Parramatta here, it's another no-brainer. With some of the games they've won and lost so far, given the troops missing, this has to be a win. So $1.40 with BlueBet, 2.95 with the Dolphins. We move on from that one. The Panthers Bathurst game, the yearly event. It was a loss last time to the Tigers that surprised plenty, but off the bye, off the Fisher-Harris news, I don't think there could be a worse time for the Tigers to be rolling into Bathurst than this week, and thoughts of last week and playing, there once a year. They've generally delivered when they head to Bathurst, and I think they'll want to deliver. Tigers get some troops back on board, some real positives. So Naden gets to play against his old club in the centres. Fa'atape is out. Bateman and Samuel Afanu are both back in as edge and bench after HIA's Latu, after his debuting brother, is back as the utility. And Lachlan Galvin, obviously the one who's really brought some spark to the attack. He's back in the halves, but Penrith, well rested. No Cleary, but Sorensen's back in. Garner back to the bench. Eisenhuth back in. I don't know if I'd have confidence to take points on the Tigers, given I think they've put a hell of a lot of effort in. But I just think the news that came out today and the loss to Manly, which frustrated and now off a bit of a rest, I think they would have regathered their thoughts. And I think they'll want to really sink the boot in here and make up for last year's game in the rain and some of the press that come with that. But yeah, I just think it would be a real flood of emotion after what's taken place this week and a real refocus for this group, and they'll want to make a statement.
I think the refocus of the group would have probably happened after that Manly game anyway. You hear that they come out and say, okay, that's a lesson. Let's take something out of it. Getting the bye. Besides Taylor May get the neck tattoo, I imagine they also would have done other things like review the game and go about their business. Look, for me, I've still got some scars from that game last year. I thought the Tigers at the time when the backs were against the wall, really lifted and showed some effort. So equally, Tigers played pretty ordinary last Sunday, and they do get, four pretty decent ins in this, in the sense that whilst Naden is probably the fourth cab off that rank, it's Galvin coming back in now. I still find it really interesting that this kid's played four games, this is his fourth game, and he's seen as the guy that I think can lead him around. Like, you know, credit to him coming on. The one thing I'm not comfortable with as a Penrith fan is the odds. So Panthers are $1.17 and the West Tigers are $5. I think that's way too out of kilter. And whilst I think Penrith win, and I want to see you know, an improved performance, and I think it will be from guys like Edwards, Tago, Tungo, and obviously the news of Fish and Sorensen's the big back in for me. Just what he the hole that he plugs defensively and with our shape is going to be massive. But $1.17 is too bloody short, in my humble. The line at -14.5. You recall the game last year, it absolutely rained upwards and took the sting out of it. So,
I don't know if it's a lot this
yeah,
time.
there's well, I haven't, to be honest, I haven't done the old Tim Bailey weather report for Saturday in Bathurst. Given I'm not going, I've probably been out of sight, out of mind. But you know, I think the Tigers would come into this noting that last week they played pretty ordinary and they've got some gaps back in. I think 14.5 is a pretty big line whilst we're still missing Cleary. But as I said, yeah, as a Penrith fan, I've got Penrith winning. I've got them being too strong. I'd probably There's a game I probably wouldn't touch from a betting perspective, other than maybe potentially having some anytime try scorers. And if I was to pick a couple, I think Tungo is the one that I'd go to. Him and Taruva were the two that I would look with. Once again, it's Penrith's middle, but it's that, you know, the Tigers pack has every opportunity on their day to match it with some of the others. Stefano, Coruscant, Clemmer, Papali'i, Bateman, and Pop. It's decent. It's above decent. It's representative standard for a lot of these guys. So who knows how they've spent the last 7 days or 5 or 6 days as we're recording this and what they turn up with. But yeah, just that betting line's way too out of whack for me and way too out of my comfort levels. I'd probably be looking at any time try scorers as my only interest for this fixture.
Yeah, no, I agree. Some quality ins. It's going to be cold, not wet, but generally it is a place where the footy can get greasy. So if it's only going to be in the teens, that kickoff time might be a bit dewy or a bit of mist around. So I think for Penrith as well, off the bye, sometimes generally you might start a little slow, but 14.5, I'm not comfortable with either. The fact that you can stretch that in a pick your own to 20.5 and take $1.40. I don't know if I'm confident before tries, but they've certainly been in games. I think they should get a boost for the four or five players they got back in this week. But similar head to head with Bluebet, $1.17, $5 for the Tigers. I'm not going either of those. It's too risky a play. So anytime on the right side, like you, Tungo, you get the 225. Taruva, if you're going to go there, I'd be going two or more. I think the $1.72, if you think that's the edge that they're going to go to, which they have seemed to have been playing more there. You've had Luai more so bouncing back across, linking, and Dylan Edwards has been very heavy on the right there with Schneider, but probably the one for me, there's no one's listed at the moment. I like Liam Martin. I think Liam Martin, Galvin's seen some traffic, but I think an angry prick like Liam Martin off the back of a loss going at a young 18-year-old kid, I could see his block head and his pair of elbows going through his chest. So it's not listed at this point, but I'd like to think, this year, if Sorensen's fours, Liam Martin might be a little shorter or around similar if he was about $4. And the other one's Dylan. Dylan's been in good form. He's been around the ball. He's a bit like Gutherson for me. If he has 20 plus touches and he's just everywhere at $2.37, who knows? If they get lazy and a bit worn down, I could see him sliding through.
Yeah, look, week to week, Edwards is the one that stands above from a Penrith side of things. Every time against Manly, he was huge. You know, I thought the effort probably could have been questioned at times across a few of the others, and everyone has those off days, but Dylan rarely does that. And yeah, I think he's going to be key as well. You know, the road to victory for both. I think Penrith's just got to, as I said, you know, Cleary's coming back this way, but they've just got to play what's in front of them. And I thought the early try against Manly and then a couple of odd calls went against us. And then it was just all effort that we got bloused. Guys like Nathan Brown softened us up. So, you know, a fortnight of going back to the video and the training paddock to get that right. I actually think Luai probably, I'd like to see Penrith probably play a bit more direct and the forwards actually go through, because that's where we'll beat and touched on it before. If you think the Tigers aren't going to try to go with the same mix of really just bring the intensity. It's worked for him last year. It's worked for him in games when they're going to hang tough. I think Penrith's got to rectify that. Fisher Harris, maybe with that weight off his shoulder, he is certainly going to bounce back from his performance against Manly as well. But if you're the Tigers fan, you're on the back of a victory there last year. Do you want to keep it rolling? I just think it's just going to be effort. And what they chalked up last Sunday, despite a few outs, was pretty rugged. So, I think it's a watch game for me. And I'd only be betting light. To'o also at $1.66. Yeah, really short, but an option if you're going to put a couple of the try scorers in together. If I'm looking for anything on the Tigers side of things, I like what Buller can bring. Buller potentially isn't any time would potentially get some interest. While, I sort of say it every week. I think Coruscant could be key coming out of nine, but where my money would go is I think Penrith can win and can win well, but those markets just sort of take it out of the equation for me. That's too tight and too big of a margin for what it's a game out in Bathurst.
Yeah, I think the only one for me that sort of appealed was Galvin back on the left. Him and Buller have been linking nicely. Tupou started quite. He's had a couple of really big weeks. He's on the end of that line. So if they could create something, maybe at 320, a wing try, but there's not a lot flat out other than that that I'd be looking at. So moving on from that one, and the Panthers hopefully getting a bounce back win. It's 5 p.m. up, or 5:30, sorry, on the Gold Coast. Desi up against his old club, the old lawsuit. It continues. The comments after last week, you can tell he's feeling the pinch a little bit at 0-6, and Ricky obviously fired back, but a few changes have happened for them this week. Jaden Campbell, that knee, he's been ruled out. So Philip Sami back from injury goes into one. He's stuck with Brimson at six, which I'm happy about. I think in their position right now, they need quality on the ball. Him and Foran work well together. Sami may not be much of a ball player, but he's probably their best outside back in terms of meters, tackle breaking. Just stick him at one and let him run himself wild. Fifita's going to start after being off the bench for a few weeks. And that's basically it. But for Manly, Burbo, hamstrings run on the family. He's blown one, so he's out for at least 3 to 4 weeks. Toff simply had a knee problem, but they've got multiple ins. Garrett comes back at a good time to replace Burbo in that sense. Nathan Brown's back on the bench. Jason Saab's back on the wing. So they've certainly improved their back five, and Lodgy is coming straight into the NRL on the bench off an ACL, no other game. So obviously only going to probably play short stints, but yeah, have to cover up, I guess, for the loss there and try and load up their bench. But the Titans, it was good to see signs of life. I know people, like, again, the word of war, the words of war afterwards, but the fact they held up for 50 plus tackles inside 20 actually showed some grunt. And then what impressed me more was they transitioned, I thought, better out of defense into attack and got Canberra a few times. My big question is, can they do it 2 weeks in a row? I think that was a real kitchen sink game. And then to go on a Golden Point and get beaten the way they did, I'm not saying Manly will take them lightly, which has been a bit of an issue with them, I guess, at times. Like, look at the Dragons game. That one struck me of the smell of we're just going to win, and they didn't. I think between the club, what's going on with Des, and having lost to Parra, lost to the Dragons, lost the lead last week, I think this is a similar kind of deal to me. If this is good weather up there, them still licking their wounds at 0-6, I think Manly's going to want to inflict some pain. So it's a few bets I've certainly
And I, yeah, and look, a somewhat improved effort by the Titans last week, and we're still down by 12 at key stages up until the end. So, and this isn't throwing shade at the Raiders. I just have Manly taking the form line out of that effort against the Warriors in New Zealand. Golden Point, nothing came of it. I said sharing the spoils. Manly's form line stacks up far better than the 0-6 Titans, but they have been a bogey team, and that's, I know you boys touched on it in the review games and what happens there. And there was a lot of talk around the blow up last week and where's Dez's head's at and vice versa and what's transpired. But if you think Dez didn't have this one.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Circle, and you think Seibold didn't have it circled either. You're kidding yourself. But this is the one where Manly, as I said, you know, if these are the games that they need to win. And the road game going up there, you know, you're not going to pack that stadium out. I said it was on the Gold Coast a month ago. Not everyone's sitting there gagging to watch the football like some other suburbs is. I think Manly just have to turn up and really just take it to them. And I think this is the game where, like, I can actually see, it going one of two ways. And, you know, typical fence sitter is, can either be a real tight affair and Manly get the win, or it's going to be the game when someone like Turbo has the out-of-the-box game that he's been waiting for. He probably hasn't done that yet. And the beauty about Manly is it's been a bit of a shared effort where it's either Olakau'atu or Akula or even, you know, Brooks and Cherry Evans have sort of interacted. But Tommy's had shades of brilliance, but I think the game when he gets to really bust out, and we've talked about it over the years where he has a double or a triple and he's popping up, is this could be that sort of game where it happens. And if I'm Manly, at $1.35 with Bluebet, Titans at $3.20, the line at 8.5. If I'm a Manly fan, I'm going to put some stock in that my team's going to take the lessons out of that Warriors game and the battle-hardened affair that was up against the 0-6 Titans with all the bullshit back in the boardrooms and the lawsuits and everything else with Dez, and just think, this team's sitting bottom of the table and we want to consider ourselves top four. Push that shit aside and just rip in. And I've got Manly winning. I just think they've got too much spark within 1, 6, 7. And even Lockie Croker, I think he's unheralded. You know, he turns up every week. He's a real toiler. I am pleased, like you, that finally Brimson's in the six. And I'm glad that he probably didn't put Brimson out to the back. Like, I just think he needs to play more of a central role. But, you know, they've missed 6 weeks of footy. And, you know, 0-6, any opportunities is a dumb statement, but any opportunity for finals is gone now. Dez has got to try to find something out of it. I just think Manly's got far more to play for, and they've got to chalk these wins up so that when they get the games like the Roosters that they're winning, they've got this behind them to pad them on the ladder. And that's what the good teams like, what your mob do, Melbourne. They've won ugly 3 times. Manly either need to win ugly or fucking blouse them in this case. And I think it could go one or two ways. And I'd be thinking something like, you know, Tommy for any time try score, even for a double, is where it's at. And I know it's very short here, but I actually like the options of potentially Saab coming back in. If he gets any free running, he's home and hosed. You know, Cam Pereira can chase him down, don't get me wrong. But I think Saab, Cooler, who's been massive each week, and Turbo are all real possibilities at try scorers. Cooler at around $2.50. I think he's been, you know, above standard. I think he's been having a real hot crack, but he'd equally be looking at this with Kelly and Smith Shields thinking, you know, I'm gonna take some scalps here as well. So for me, mate, Manly too strong. $1.35 is a fraction short. So once again, I'd probably be going with Manly covering either the full 8.5 or maybe a little bit less just to be safe and maybe looking at some try scorers.
I don't mind the $1.35. Again, if it was $1.40 like those other two, that's sort of my three lego where you could go a short late one if you think there's some wins. But I'm of a similar ilk that I always have. Turbo, usually these are the games when there is a low opponent and they roll through their middle. Having Paseka, who's been awesome, and big forward pack and dynamic on the edges, shifting the ball. I think he gets real, real dangerous here. And I know last week they were able to, you know, tighten up and make things a little bit ugly. To be able to repeat that again, like I said, after a 90-minute effort and a loss, which was probably soul-crushing, I don't know if they're going to have it in them. So I look at, again, Olakau'atu, I know every week, but he's going to be a repeat offender for me. Him marking up on that edge. Brimson's there now, but, you know, Kelly had a positive week last week. He had plenty of bad ones prior. I just think he's going to be too hard to handle. I'd expect him to be 15-plus touches. Both the halves are always good value. So for that, I think Brooks had a few up-and-down weeks, but he had a few nice moments last week, bar that intercept. Would like to see
Yeah.
him tuck the ball a little bit more. So 375 for him, 275 for Olakau'atu. They're pretty good value. And, for Manly, probably, oh, sorry, for the Titans, the one that stands out for me is Sammy at one. If he's out the back of shape and he's
Yeah.
getting plenty of touches at $3, I don't mind that. But I just, I don't know if they're going to be able to back up that effort. That was a real all in, chips to the middle. Like, let's, go out there and do whatever it takes and to get your heart broken the way they did.
Yeah.
I know they're going home, but with some of the sting, like you said, with the Manly stuff, Des, this team already dropping the points last week, the Para lead, and then the Dragon game. This is one of those ones, if you Manly, you're like, boys, we don't have time to, to mess around here. This needs to be a win, and probably to your point, like, I'm not saying you're going to go in there thinking you're going to win big, but I want to absolutely put my foot to the floor here and just stomp the Titans at the moment.
Yeah, if they get a sniff, it's, you know, it's full on. It's game on. I mean, they've got some huge ins, the Sea Eagles. As I said, Garrick's coming back in. I think he's been super at centre and he's an absolute point fiend. So he comes back in. I thought Nathan Brown as well returning. You
Good.
know, he had some real starch, and I thought he was huge against my mob a couple of weeks back. And you know, I said we touched on this a few times, just a head scratcher as to how he found himself sort of bouncing around from club to club. You know, he's, I think what he can add for Manly, particularly if there's a softening up period, and what he can bring on is he brings that intensity. And I just think the Manly back line and their halves are going to be too good. Look, we've talked about a lot of other players, but you know, Cherry Evans, when we touched a bit of the Sean Johnson thing, is his game management compared to his counterparts, there's daylight second. Absolute daylight second. And if given the opportunity here, I think he can just steer them around and cut them themselves. He may even score a couple. But if I'm a Manly fan, I want to win, and I want to win well. And if I'm the Titans, a bit of wind came out of their sails after last week. But I just think from a 1-17 point of view, even taking the injuries into account, Manly would have chalked this up as a win at the start of the year. They just need to, you know, sign off on this one and get it going.
I definitely do see some bad blood here. I don't know. There's not obviously many ex-Manly or a lot of investment from the players as opposed to Desi, but I'm sure he's been spitting broil and fire this week about this game. So intrigued to see how they do come out. But again, 320 for the Titans. I don't see value there. If you think the line 8.5 can drag out, if you think they can make it ugly again, maybe you can take that to 12.5 and get yourself somewhere in the higher dollar sort of figures. But in terms of me and the Gold Coast and Manly looking at those results, I think they'll look at this one too important and think we have to get a win here and a decent win. So Saturday night caps off with a pretty good game. The Broncos, it's been a tough start with injury. They're still missing Reynolds, they're still missing Haas, Pierre Kura, Dane Mariner, but to sort of be 50-50, football's been up and down, but you can see the quality in their lineup. And if they can get those guys majority back next week, I think, and Mariner the week after, and get a few more wins heading to Origin, I think they'll be pretty happy considering the rough start. But Canberra, again, just been going about their business, complete high. Forwards do a great job. OBs help out in yardage. They kick, they strangle, they play high percentage footy. They're not going to be an easy out for the Broncos, but I think for them, big 90 minutes. Playing on Sunday, heading to Suncorp. They've actually had success going up there in the past, but I don't know how confident I am this week. I think the odds with Bluebet at $1.40 for the Broncos and 2.95. This is another one where I look at where you might be able to stretch the points if you want, and say get it out to 10.5 or 12.5. But I'm sort of leaning towards Brisbane. I think it's getting to a point for them where coming into Origin. And those few bodies that are going to start to come back, they'll want to have a few more in the bank, knowing they're going to have a heavy representation.
I look, it's a shame with Zach Bosking also going out last
He's
week
been
with with
good.
that shoulder injury. You couple that with Horsburgh and also being out for an extended period. Whitehead still on the comeback is, you know, it's a credit to the depth that the Raiders have at their disposal, but it's starting to get tested as well. And for me, I have Brisbane winning, Brisbane and Suncorp. I just think they're going to be too strong. What I have been impressed with is, whilst they've also had their own injury battles, the Bronx, some guys have really started to lift. Jaden Hunt, Fletcher Baker, and also Corey Jensen, I think have actually been really, really rock solid, and added a bit of spark where, yeah, they are some stopgap players, in Hunt. You know, obviously wasn't really tipped to be starting there, but I thought they've been really honest. And once again, yeah, it's coming down to some key players. I actually was pleasing to see Cobbo get unlocked last week. That was, you know, he was yet to score. He ended up scoring a double. He was involved. You know, that's going to do him a world of confidence. I think Mam's been improved in the last few weeks. Ezra's been able to sort of pop up and get in around the ball. I just think Brisbane is going to be a task too hard for the Raiders. And that's not to stop the effort, but the sort of semi-concerning thing as well was that the Raiders did let the Titans back in last week. And whilst there was an improved effort from the Titans, I think Brisbane's going to be, you know, whilst they're being pressed and challenged at the moment, for me, they're still a, you know, definite top eight side, but pushing that top four thing at full fitness. Yeah, I think they're going to be too strong, and Suncorp in their background. I know that the Raiders won the corresponding affair last year and went up there and pulled their pants down, but you know, that's there's nothing I don't like about the Raiders here, nor their effort. I just think it's going to be the Broncos lifting here, and once again just getting the win up, and a good way to close out the Saturday night. The 8.5 start or the line. I think the Raiders can hang with Brisbane in a long for a long period, but I'd potentially even be taking that with the Bronx at covering 8.5. I think if the Raiders do blink first and maybe don't go for the full 80, I think the power in the back line across Cobbo, Staggs, and Walsh chiming in, I think that's where some stuff's going to go. And it's going to be a great test for guys like, you know, Tomoko. I said we are pissing his pocket every week about how good he's going and stuff, but just that, not immaturity, but the inexperience with some of that back line, Stewart, Schiller, Tomoko, Chris, Savage, you know, there's some real young guys there. I think on the countering side is, whilst you've got some young guys in the Broncos, there
That
is probably a bit more dynamic and
oh,
spark in that space for me. And yeah, so, for Brisbane, going similar to to Manly, you want to chalk this one up before you get the cavalry back in Huss and Reynolds, who look like they're coming back in the next week or fortnight. So I think they'll be too strong. The other thing, I don't know if you boys caught it in the pod, but James Schiller,
yeah,
Raiders winger, is
Newcastle
actually
for
also
years.
signed with the Knights. You know, he's shown some real glimpses and been a try sneak to start the year. So, you know, he's made the most of his opportunities in the NRL grade and found himself with a contract. So good luck to him. But yeah, it's nothing would shock me. I think you're still going to get that effort. I still love the engine room of Canberra, but yeah, I've got the Bronx winning, mate.
Yeah, it's been a good battle there. Like, obviously, Hop was doing good before he got the burns, and Cotric can't play. Like, you know, he hasn't been bad. And then they have Schiller. So they've certainly got good depth outside backs and in their forward pack. And they've done a good job covering. But similar deal to lose Hosking, have Chevy a big occasion going up there off the back of a tougher one. And it's not a short turnaround, but again, Sunday night, doing extra time into going up to Brisbane, who had a good win on Friday and had a long turnaround. The other one I'm very happy about, because I've got a huge rap on him, was Willison finally being on the bench. Like, me and Fox talked about this the other night, and I sort of said, like, for me, I was surprised he wasn't there round one. They sort of lost Flegler, lost Palaseau. You have to have somebody that you look at on your bench and go, all right, you're dynamic, you're big, you're mobile. Like, between Haas, him, and Carrigan, if you're going to bridge any of the gap for that depth they lost, he's sort of that automatic third wheel that I look at and I go, you're the first one that I'm picking every week on the bench. And he's the only one with this lack of sort of back row depth they have now that I look at and go, if I get in trouble, he's still young enough and wiry enough at this point where if I want to deploy him on an edge and cover for a little bit, I could probably do that. But for middle, he was the blatant obvious one for me that I thought was going to be a part of this rotation. And he's been big the last few weeks. Last week was, yeah, it was a good game by him.
Mate, it's a good pickup. I was going to counter with the exact same point. I think he's a big monster of a bloke, and he's got good hands, he's got good footwork, and just anywhere near the line there, I think he's been really, really damaging. So I equally like to see him in the rotation. I think that's part of what's going to make some of these teams, like, you know, Smoothie, Wilson, Hetherington, Saylor, okay, in yesteryear they've been stopgaps, but the way that their bench is actually coming in and making a dent in the game, like we touched on Smoothie the other week, but whether it's through this injury or these are now the selections, I think, yeah, Willison's made the most of his chances. And it's a bit like, but from the finished product, a bit like Nelson in the sense that, yeah, given his size and scope, whilst he's in the middle, you can probably drift him out to an edge and isolate a smaller player on occasion if needed. And he's probably going to find himself floating, to your pickup about, you know, he can probably cover both at the moment. But yeah, I have been impressed with him. Look, game management, I think the responsibility is probably going to sit with Mam and Fogarty. Fogarty does that every week.
His kicking game has been fantastic.
Yeah, it's huge. And I think the difference with a lot of other teams versus who the Raiders have probably faced at the moment is I think Walsh can negate that impact, but then also create something off the cuff of it. And that's potentially where it's at. And, you know, key player for me is Walsh. I think what he delivers and what he can do is just even having his presence there is huge for the Broncos. But the game management is probably going to sit with Fogarty. And I think Mam as well, probably shown some improvements in the last little stages or even aspects of the game. But yeah, for me, mate, to put a bow on this one, I've got the Bronx winning $1.40, probably even covering that 8.5. I don't mind Selwyn Cobbo, anytime try score at $2.62. Reece Walsh also at $2. I think if the Bronx, and if they can win well and go past that 8.5, I think the unlocking of Selwyn last week and Walsh just being in and around on everything, that's where my money would find its way.
I'm like you. I think the odds of bluebet.com.au, Broncos at $1.40, I don't mind at all. I still think there's a bit of value for Canberra at 2.95, but just, yeah, the fact now that they've had to stretch a bit more, having no Elliott, having Simi come back in, having Chevy at one, they're all good. But even, yeah, just a few of the younger guys, like Savage has been good, but he's finding his way. Schiller's only a couple of games in. It's going to be big on Fogarty's boot and completing high, just my opinion in that regard. But yeah, I'm looking at this one. I like the $1.40. If you're going to take Canberra, though, because I think they'll make it ugly or do what they do and complete high and Fogarty will kick well, you can get 12.5 start at $1.52. So that's as good as the
Yeah,
head-to-head if you
decent.
think it's, you know, pretty good in that regard. Try scorers, Cobbo, we agree. I think him versus Tomoko is a great matchup. On Tomoko's side of things, his physicality generally opens up for his outside. So Schiller again is a good shout, I think, at 225, and he can get aerial. But yeah, Cobbo 262 is probably the real sort of standout there for me. If he can get some time and space on that edge, Walsh is a danger wherever he is. You got to take the good with the bad. He does make some errors, but I think last week's a bit of ring rust. He threw a few loose ones early. Once he cleaned it up, he was dynamic. But value outside of that, if I was going to go anywhere else, not too sure. Like, you know, I think Hudson's been playing better. He had a slower start, but he's threes. For the Broncos, again, it'd be more somebody in that outside range, like a Willison, making a dent at 550. That there's not really anyone else in their pack that grabs me in that way. Like, Pat has been Herculean with his effort covering up for, you know, the players they've lost at no Haas, but he's not exactly a try scoring threat. But it's more probably one or two of those OB matchups. I think Cobbo might just be able to get himself there at Fogarty and Tomoko, or you know, something happened more that left hand side, but probably more the speed players, Mann, him, Walsh, sort of dipping around to that left hand side for me.
Yeah, agree, mate. I think be a good way to close out that Saturday night.
Sunday, we get into it to wrap things up. The Doggies up against the Newcastle Knights. Already been some movement here. Does not surprise me at all. The Doggies, I think, have finally found, and I've said this early doors when we did our pod, this is their best back five, in my opinion. Connor Tracey, big centres, lots of speed with Crichton, Sherry. And then you look at the wings like Fox does his job in yardage, but obviously, if he makes space for him, he's an absolute world beater. And Carraz, like in the centres the other week, not great defensively, but when he just carries and does his job, he had 300 plus last week. So when you're lacking size in your forward pack, you need your back five to deliver. All these guys can help. All of them can make a difference. And it brought more balance having Sherry on the left with Fox and kick out and then getting Critter over to the right. If they can slowly build that up with him over there, and Carraz and Preston, when he comes back, we know he's a good back rower. You've got definitely a lot more balance across the board on your edges to try and make up a little bit for what they're lacking in the middle. Curran has been a fantastic buy, really underrated. Between the other guys, they're toiling. Hughes is playing a little bit more. Patolo's just back in. They're still clearly lacking in the middle. But I thought the real standout thing last week, the back five as a whole, but that left side, it's as simple as that for them. Burton, run or give early ball to Kikau. Kikau is just one of those difference makers in the comp. There's not many of them, but you don't need to lead him into the line. You don't need to crash him in. There's nothing that needs to be guided half the time. You give him a one-on-one, you watch your half get nervous, you watch your centre shit himself and jump in. You've seen him create space to give a pass and create a two-on-one. Just, Goro somebody, Mortal Kombat style, or choke slam him. He makes things happen. But to have Sherry there last week and you saw the ability when they had a narrow short side, it was man on three. He just stood Nick Meaney up with pure speed and class, squared him up, popped on the outside and got the wing in a bite. Like that's a real point of, emphasis for me to build that left edge and continue to see some positives. At Acor, Newcastle, sort of unimpressive so far. Like Ponga, I know they're saying the hit point is real painful, you can pay through. But yeah, they're still leaving me with a lot to be desired. I think this could be another one where if the Dogs' effort is where it has been and their tails are up, this might be another one for Newcastle where, they're already got their heads partly underwater. If the Dogs can get the result here, I think they're well and truly starting to drown.
I'm absolutely torn between where to go from here, because a lot of your points, I sort of concur with. I loved Connor Tracey at one when he was at the Sharks last year, filling in for Kennedy, and I thought he was really dynamic, and I think he's a really sound footballer. So to see that now is pleasing. I think the Dogs' effort in the last probably fortnight has been vastly improved. Obviously, got the win against the Roosters, but I thought they were better than the other better team last
That's right.
last week, and it got away from them. On the flip side, though, like I thought the Knights were in control, and it wasn't until Pono got that hit pointer when he really sort of struggled to get around the park for that probably 35-minute period. I caught the nine coverage, and Joey was calling for his head every second minute to needs to come off and stuff. And you saw the cheese try was straight up on the back of the fact that Ponga was laying down in the ruck. He was injured. Elliot had his back turned, and he just parted the season, went straight through. If Ponga's fit, I actually think they're actually controlling the game against the Roosters last week, and that lapse in judgment maybe doesn't occur. So it's kind of a weird position to be. Like, I'm betting on whether a guy's going to get through 80 minutes, or how injured he really is, or how dynamic he can be. I thought at times last week that the Knights probably were the better team in shades, and then the Roosters really lifted. I thought I'd said I tipped the Roosters. I'm glad they won, from a punting and tip point of view, but the Knights weren't disgraced either, and they've gone bloody close in the last couple of weeks, and been in the fight. I actually think it's a really good matchup. I just think it's a really even matchup, and the odds say as much. BlueBet have the Dogs at $1.95, and the Knights at $1.85. It's as even as it's going to get, and it's just going to come down to effort. And gun to my head, if I'm having to make a pick here, I'm actually going to favor the Knights. Whilst I've enjoyed what Canterbury have done in the last fortnight, I'm just going to put some stock in the fact that I think now that Marju's back in, that if Ponga's fit, just the options off the bench with Saifidi, Hetherington, and Croker coming in, the Knights have done a lot of dumb shit as well in their 80-minute performances. They've gone to sleep, and I just think that's the learning is. Both teams need to probably play that consistent footy, but like I'm straight up tossing a coin here. I don't give the greatest home field advantage for either team, at a core on a Sunday afternoon with 23,000 people, if you're lucky, in an 80,000 seat stadium. I don't think it's going to be a fortress like we could have favoured Belmore in the weeks gone by, or if it was up at McDonald Jones. So, if for nothing else, thinking that maybe Newcastle on their best day can shade the Dogs. That's where I'm going to go. But it actually could just be a watch and see, and then potentially some anytime try scorers. Because for me, I said I'm really struggling to split them, because I don't know which team's going to pop off. turn up for both sides.
Yeah, I think Ponga, like you said, he was the difference in everything last week. And if he's there, and I think they've got the superior middle, the Dogs have certainly punched overs in that regard and held up in a lot of games. But yeah, I see some positives here if they do what they did last week. If they're good out of the backfield, shift early, get to that left-hand side. I think Kikau is a great shout. Like, he hasn't really scored. He's been the focal point so far. But if they get
Yeah.
inside 20, I think he's begging to get a four-pointer, because he's been, just lights out. But for them, him, I think Sherry looked pretty competent. Gagai at this point, still really good with his yardage. But if he
Yeah.
gets a one-on-one, is able to stand him up, he's not as good as Latchley as what he used to be. And on the flip, looking at the Knights, I think it's a simple recipe, and it's been there the whole time. They conceded all their tries last week to Melbourne, or their right opposition left. Ponga best left side sweep. Didn't see it enough last week. Should have seen more of it. Got him there a few times. The value pick still for me is Piers Paul. He's been
Piers
great.
Paul.
He's got through. He looked even more dangerous last week, but he's going to cash in sooner or later.
But that for me was the things where there was lapses in judgment across the Knights, that if Adam O'Brien's getting any sort of takeouts from these losses or learnings, in the 79th minute, Piers Paul makes a break and there's no support play with him. Someone's tracking through. They've won on the bell. They're taking the momentum through. They let that one get away as much as the Roosters took it out of their hands. And just that momentum shift and what happened, for me, the big catalyst was when Ponga got injured. If he's fully fit, I think he can have more of an impact than any other person on the field. I fully concur with Kikau. I think the fact that that improved, he's obviously come back from injury last year, and then also the improved relationship with him and Burton, and just opening up, and whether they're using him to punch through holes or using him as decoys, or even the tap on effects to the on that left hand side. Yeah, I think it's really, really key. But I've seen shades of from both teams that I really like, and there's parts that I really loathe. And whilst it might be a bit conservative for me from a betting perspective, like, I'm not touching this at all. If I've got an interest, or if I've got a couple of little bonus bets hanging over from the G1s on Saturday, yeah, I might take something, and it might be a Marju into a Piers Paul into a Knights, or equally, I like the other option with a Kikau and a potentially Crichton at centre in the Dogs, and you could, potentially as a neutral, take a small bet on either of those wages. But yeah, just a watch and see game for me, mate. I think both teams a lot to play for, and yeah, you just want to see that 80-minute performance if you're a supporter of either of those teams.
And like I said, it basically started slight outsiders, but it's almost a pick 'em now with bluebet.com. The Doggies, $1.95 outsider. Knights, $1.85, 1.5 to start. So it's probably hard for you to take points here. You're going to get too low odds if you want to drag it. I'm with sort of with you. If there was going to be a bet to get better odds, it'd be a 1-12. I don't see anyone a real standout here. So Doggies, 1-12, 3-15. Knights, 3-05. Those try scorers, best 262 again. Should have seen a bit more ball last week. I'm sure he'll see more in this one. That left-hand side, Kikau, 325. Sherry again, 325. The Fox, anything over twos is usually good value for him. So if you like that lethal left edge, I'd say take your pick in terms of characters there. But Piers Paul still sitting there at 450. The real stand-up point here for me needs to be their middle, though. There's been periods where they've been really good, but it's been too hot and cold to have both Saifidis, Leo Thompson, who played for New Zealand, and sort of the mix they've got there with even Lucas and Piers Paul. I think that pack has been quite good at times, but just in games in general, they're another one who's been a bit hot and cold, and just the halves as well. I didn't understand why Hastings went out in the first place. I think it's been clear the last few weeks that this is the better halves pairing or what they should have been going with, but even that still hasn't reached the levels I would have hoped so far. It's the work in progress. The question, like I said, for them, that which is the worry with the Dogs here is, are they going to leave it too late, which was the worry from the start? Changes at nine, changes in the halves, three different combos, Phoenix starting, Brayley building back up, Brayley now starting. Like, is it all going to be too little too late for them? This is one of those games where it doesn't drive the nail in the coffin, obviously. They went on a 10-win streak last year, but these are the ones you sort of look at and go, this is the difference between you playing finals at the end of the year or not playing finals. So, danger game here for the Knights, but we finish off with a cracker at the Prison. This was the semi-final that I remember from a couple of years ago where the Sharks were left heartbroken. So I know there's, a lot under the bridge since then, but the majority of that Shark side is still there. They haven't had a lot of turnover. It is at the Priz, they've got the Cowboys. For the Cowboys, one change I think I saw, it was Murray Taulagi, who's out with a hamstring injury. So Valame comes in on the wing. Other than that, you've got the same side. For the Sharks, people have been wondering if Iro would hold his spot. Well, that question's been answered because with Katoa suspended, would have been very easy to push him to the wing and bring Sipa back into the centres, but they're giving a debut to a young bloke, Samuel Stonestreet, who is fantastic. And he's another one in the same mould as your Mulitalos and your Katoas. Big body, can jump for the ball, but he works his ass off. I've seen this kid since Harold Matthews. He was a captain back then off the wing. And when I see a winger with captain, they're a very different position these days. That says a lot about the person. When we come in, I'm like, man, they must have an opinion of this kid. He would have had 20 carries in a 60-minute game of football, and he just carries hard. So they're not going to. Katoa and Muli are one of the best yardage pairs and finishing pairs, but I'm telling you, they won't lose anything in yardage. This bloke will put his body on the line. So that's the only real change for them. And Ueli back on the bench. So definitely a different looking bench, but with a smaller forward pack, I don't mind what they've got. You've got Ueli. He's got leg speed. Rudolph's a bit of a worker. Jack Williams, again, bit smaller, powerful, dynamic. And then you've got Sipper, who can play through the middle and same deal, bring leg speed. So they don't have a that big man, but they've certainly got a good group there of mobile, powerful sort of guys that they can roll through to mix in there with McInnes, who works his backside off Oregon, and Big Hazo, who has obviously made a pretty good fist of his football this year, I must say. Cowboys, though. I've got the same problems I have every week so far. Points are not a problem. Nobody moves the ball better than they do. Nobody gets tram line to tram line. Halves link together, drink water. The way he plays, dynamic back rowers. Nene is one of the best kick targets in the comp. Val, they've got points. They've got a dangerous nine as well who can probe, but they don't back it up with their defense. They don't transition well into defense. They give up immediately when they go on their goal line. I haven't seen them do a back-to-back really this year. They also have a habit of making shit errors in their back five. Whereas Cronulla this year has slowly gone from being more what I've seen as an attacking team to the Fitzgibbon mold. Their attack's still there, but they go hard from their back five. They lean into that because they're not the biggest forward pack. They've got solid edge back rowers, a kick. They'll show resilience like last week. They had 45 inside 20s compared to 25 with South. So they just, ground their way there. And they're just getting a little bit grittier. So them going to the Prison with the Cowboys here, this is one of the better head-to-head odds, but I actually like $1.65 here for the Sharks.
$1.65 Cronulla, $2.25 the Cowboys with BlueBet. Sharks at home on a Sunday out at the Prison. People are clocking on
Better for
in the
the
early
beach.
AMs, in the early AMs and kicking on to the afternoon. It's a lot of your points too. There's been aspects in some absolute go to woe tries scored by the Cowboys that just scratch your head. The drink water one on the weekend where it was tackle five and they sort of spun it out,
That's the
and
best try of the season. That was incredible.
and it was like that came out of absolute nowhere. But they're just sort of giving this like sort of six out of 10 or 6.5 out of 10 performance for like 70 minutes of the game or 60 minutes of the game, and there's like nothing too spectacular other than drink water pulling something out of the proverbial. They've just done a lot of dumb shit. They've just done a lot of dumb things. And as you sort of said, respect for the ball is one thing. I think the Sharks, on the other hand, too, is like they've against Souths last week, they did what they needed to do. It wasn't a beautiful affair. It wasn't the most dynamic thing, but a couple of our discussions, Mulitalo double. His first 40, they probably took the foot off the gas just a fraction. Souths got sort of let back into the game in that probably, third quarter of the game there, that 40 to 60 minute, even coming through towards the end. But there's too much upside for the Sharks for me. And I'm with you. I like the fact that Fitzgibbon has kept Eero in the centers and had Talakai on the bench. I think it gives him far more flexibility if there is any something happens. And I think investing in a kid like Eero now, as opposed to a Talakai who, played Origin, that's a Fittler issue for me. Not necessarily was he should he have been there, but he gives you more balance across the side. And that bench, I think, is full of workers. It's good to see Ueli come back in. Jack Williams is rock solid. They get that middle rotation coming back on, where, as you said, they've got some quicker players, and that leg speed just to push through. I've just seen far more effort from the Sharks and game management from the Sharks and respect for the ball. And the effort of the Cows last week against Parramatta just really reiterated that for me. And that's a tough place to go and win down there. I know that the Cowboys did it in the semi, 2 years ago, but it's not the same. And I just think there's got to be some improvement from some real stand-up guys, the Okotas, Taumalolos. I think Robson's been rock solid the whole way through, but just across the board, they've just shot themselves in the foot way too many times, the Cowboys, and you're not going to get away with that here. And I think, happy for a young guy in Stone Street getting a debut. I'm glad you're able to sort of give more background there as to how he's come through the grades and what sort of type of player he is, not knowing much about him myself, but I just look at what I see there and I just see consistent effort. I see yardage and I see real attacking plays, but the game management's where it's going to be for me. And Dearden's been solid. Chad's still the Chad. But the
Chad.
Cowboys as a collective haven't really managed games effectively against decent opposition. That was sort of the mock we had a couple of weeks ago on them was, yeah, they've won some games and they've gone to sleep, but it's against lesser opposition. Their draw now is starting to come into this. And I think the Sharks would consider themselves definitely top eight, pushing for probably a higher finish, top six, top four, maybe. You never know. It's a road game for the Cows. And I think that game dropped last weekend. I don't know if they're going to be able to turn it around with the Sharks at home.
Yeah, I think Sharks are one of those ones for me that I put in based off draw and origin. And that sounds boring at times, but who's playing origin? Unless Nico's in his halves, there's no one there that you're looking at going, well, we're going to pick him. Like, I know he said this week that Brayley was in his spine meeting, but between Robson, Egan, Arpy Coruscant, he's rock solid, don't get me wrong. But he's fourth or fifth pick even in that mix if you're really looking at the nines that are going to be available. So Sharks have got good draw. I think when I looked at the start of the year, I know it's based off last year, but it's pretty consistent. The top eight teams, they had the least double up matchups. They're going to be basically unaffected during that period. So they're another one to look at again, who, given all those factors, wins like this at home, games like the Tigers, losses hurt. But if they don't have too many lows and you get through that period, and they've had some health issues, they probably should find a way to being top four or close to. Stone Street is the perfect thing that you want within a club. It's a local kid all the way through your grades, done the right thing, didn't leave knowing he's got two quality internationals in front of him, only wants to play for the Sharks, extended, I think, last year till 25. This is not a reward for, oh, you just stayed here. Like this, he's been rock solid in cup, but he's just no nonsense. And I've seen him when Boxers Mob played the other week. He's actually grown more than I expected to. I think now he's almost 6'5".
Shit.
He was probably a 6'2" sort of kid, like lean, but now he's even taller and he'd be close to 100. But he's just a no nonsense. And he's going to bang and he's going to compete for everything. So I have no problem, like I said, with them not having a standout middle, having Sipai more leg speed on the bench with him and Jack and Ueli, like impactful guys with footwork. And then leaving this back line with Eero. Because the other thing with Eero, this is one of these ones in a position without being too harsh in centre that's, wouldn't say undervalued, but if you look at all the positions that are off contract in the NRL right now, centre is probably the most top-heavy position. And there's a lot of guys out there, and there's not a whole lot of interest in anyone to buy it at high prices because the smattering of talent, what you use a centre for now and what they provide, there's no real need to pay top dollar when most of them are probably going to go for a similar amount. But Iro, on the other hand, is a former New South Wales Cup Player of the Year, coming off contract this season, has already had Super League teams and other clubs look at him. So I think this is also a period for the Sharks where Sifa's locked in till 26. Regardless of origin or what position he's played, he's got a solid contract, he's got good pay. Whether he's happy or not with the job, I'm sure he will be with the contract he got, but they need to make a decision on Hiro, because if they don't,
Yeah.
or they're not interested, it's something they need to figure out soon. Is the way forward still going to be Sifa, or is this kid, everything that's been advertised through the junior grades and the Cup Player of the Year, is this, our centre for the years to come?
And I think, the selections in the coming weeks are probably going to tell us that, but the early part that now the Eros come in, I think is quite telling in itself. And for me, I think Talakai had a great run of about 8 or 9 weeks there, and it was a little bit of fool's gold. Oh, he can do this in Origin. Not really. Like, it was flash in the pan. He was having a great couple of months. I think he's a genuine first grader. I think he's a rock solid first
Oh,
grader, but I think he has as many errors and defensive lapses in his game as he does for the attacking prowess that he can show on occasions. Whereas, as you said, Iro's got those building blocks coming through the system, having 2 years in Cup. He's worked out how to play against kids to now transition into playing against men, and that's fine. And if this stone streaks, if that's the way forward, then I think that's a real big upside. I'm still not 100% sold on the Sharks in themselves. Like,
No.
I used the number about this 6.5 performance or and whatever else. I think the Sharks on their day, I've never seen anything where they've really blown away a team of a higher standing. I think they've hung with them or given an honest performance. But, we go back to this is the one here. I think just at home, there's too much going in their favor compared to what the Cows have done. And I think they can game manage through this. And I said that game management is actually spread across, particularly your Mulatalos. Like, he had one of the best 40 minutes you saw last Saturday evening, a couple of tries, that assist. He's involved in everything. His carries are huge. That's that performance and consistent approach going through. And I think Felt and Valame and even Chester sort of playing in at center, may have some issues in managing if they've got not only Mulatalo, but a 6 foot 5, 100 kilo young kid coming through who loves the tough stuff. I just think there's going to be too much upside there. You talked about Origin. I know Cam McInnes has been mentioned as a potential utility. They may lose one there, but I think they're a very solid team across the book, the Sharks. I don't think there's a standout player per se that really jumps out like you have with a Ponga in some things or a Tedesco, Manu, or Papenhuyzen, anything like that. But I think what they have is just real consistency. And I think that will take them a long way into the comp. I think they will start to fall down when they play against some more dynamic teams who have that X factor. But in
Point
this
with.
equation here, I think they're leaving the Sharks or the Cows for dead. And Sunday, down in the Shire, clocking on early, midday schooners, full as a bull on the hill. I think there's a lot to like there if you're a local. So $1.65 is where you would get my cash head to head. I probably would steer away from any of the margin bets, but look, Mulatalo, $1.83 for any time try scorer. He's starting to get to that Watini-Zalesniak, who's probably already there. That, if you can put those two together around $2.80, $2.90, and then punch out another couple, that's fine. But some of the other guys you mentioned, Kale Iro, $3. I think he's gonna lift in. The young fella Stone Street's not in the market at the moment, so he's yet to be offered a price. But if he's as big and as bad as you've mentioned, as we get closer to kickoff there, I'd maybe keep an eye on that young winger. For the Cowboys, the old go-to, I think Drinky is the real one that if they're going to spark anything, I think they've got to get some early ball out to Holmes and stuff as well. I think they've just got to shift early and start to play on the fringes. But Drinkwater at $2.62 as an anytime try scorer would be, I'd go. But I'm all in on the Sharks with this fixture, mate.
Yeah, and on the same, basically what you said, Penrith by the beach, bloke sourced up, hoping for a W and to head to Northies on a Sunday night for a nasty session and calling sick on Monday. It's a harsh place to go, but more consistent. Cowboys not good on the road. Two test games so far, Broncos, Eels, a fail in both, and was more the small things that you said last week. Why their attack was so good. The Harper grabber took forever to go dead, and he gets to clean it up, play five, like three offloads for a crashing try. Like it's those small areas, and they're the things that the Sharks are doing. They're good from the backfield. They play simple. I think Nico especially has simplified things. He's got trust in Trindle, who's really unlocked that left side. So I'm probably with you on Itto at $3. I like that a lot. The other one, probably for me, flipping over. The head-to-head I like too, but I think if I was going to go someone on the other side, he's been there or thereabouts. They haven't been too dynamic through the middle, but the Sharks at times, because they're a smaller pack, I could see Robson, if they're inside 20, having a bit more of a crack here or trying to catch somebody out, like a ULA on the field or a Hazelton, who's not the great mover laterally. But yeah, if Stone Street had a price, that left edge particular of the Cowboys has leaked points. I could see Nico, Ramien, Kennedy, etc., linking up and finding the kid a four-pointer on debut and Shark Park going absolutely mental. So, yeah, there's a few options there, but the head-to-head at $1.65, I think, with bluebet.com.au is a pretty good one considering where it's at. And if it's good weather in the Shire, and the Cowboys do what they've been doing, making errors and having defensive lapses, I'm not saying it's going to be easy, but it'll certainly go in the Sharks' favour. So that pretty much wraps us up, friend. I think the three that really struck me, and I took some odds on this myself, I think I got about $53 on a boost. I went a triple back rower try. So I went Crichton, Kikau, and who was the other one I liked? Crichton, Kikau, Olakau'atu. Went for three dynamic back rows and I boosted it and had a $10 whack. I got almost 55, I think, earlier with Bluebet. So it's just a bit of a nasty stab.
Mate, and I like that aspect, and it's, as you said, low wager for a high return. There's a good thing if you're alive after two legs, you're licking your lips. If you go out early, then it's no harm, no foul. But yeah, it's like for me, just in taking a look here, I think, realized leading into this Origin period. And not specifically wanting to talk about Origin, far from it. But just this, who's going to start to put the wins in their, in the column, put themselves in the win columns now, just leading into when we start to see that churn through selections and injuries and stuff. I think we're just under 50 days away from that first fixture. So that chalks us up to about the next six rounds. And I think it's going to be a real interesting look. And that ladder at the moment, Sharks still sitting on top. Storm also there, Sharks leading from the front here at the moment with odds of still around anywhere between, I think you're getting somewhere around 14 to about $17 depending on where you're going. But I think a lot of that's going to start to even out, and this next month for me is real interesting, as just as we head into that first selection, we're probably 5 weeks away, I would imagine. I think the next month is going to be really telling for what we're starting to see. And I think on the back of that, then you can start to hammer some of these odds and selections and week-to-week betting, with a bit more confidence than maybe we've had in some selections this round.
Another cheeky one I've had a crack at this week is an NRL futures multi with bluebet.com.au. Again, don't have to go too crazy on this, but I still thought it was pretty decent. So Raiders to make the top eight, another one I look at and think you've already banked four. I don't see anyone playing Origin. Like Hudson's a guy who might be talked about, but at the moment, I think this back row is in front of him. Papa's not going to play for Queensland unless they get a stack more middle injuries, and he's playing really good footy. I know they're short at the moment, but I still think that's not going to happen. There's no one else there really looking at going, he's playing Origin. So unaffected during that period, already four on the bank. If you win three every six and go 50-50, you're going to get the 12 you need. The Warriors, similar deal, even with Egan and Barnett in the mix, I think their Origin period will see them through, and I like Cronulla. So all those in a futures multi. Raiders are $2.25 still to make the eight, $1.40 the Sharks, $1.45 the Warriors. You get yourself $4.57. So
Mate, I love the fact you're digging into it. And yeah, for anyone there, you can still multi up those futures markets. They've all the options here. It's actually, credit to Bluebet, that's available on a bit of a sliding scale as well. So some of those have come in and moved around a bit more from the start of the year. But the fact you can get on for some of these fixtures with price compared to some other bookmakers is a real interest taker, particularly as things start to take shape, as I said, over these next 5 weeks. You know, just looking back over the last couple of, you know, the last six rounds, mate, as we head into round seven, like, fuck, there's been some injuries and what that's done with teams, and you haven't seen anything like it, and people calling on their stocks. And I think if any team can get back to full fitness or maintain some fitness versus the others, it's becoming a real factor this year. Not that it hasn't been for others, but just really telling this year of 2024. So, yeah, keep an eye on those futures markets. They're available on BlueBet and bet sensibly, but take a peek.
We always try to bet sensibly, but when it comes to rugby league, I'm not sensible all the time, that's for sure. But thank you again, bluebet.com.au. If you're going to have a bet with anyone, make sure you do it with the True Blue Bookie. They back us and they back our charity account. I'm still on a duck egg. I've had three no tries out of the six picks I've had. It's been absolutely cruel to start with so far. So surely a bit of luck's got to come into it this week. I'll probably have a look at a couple of those back rows that I mentioned, and hopefully we can crack a couple of hundy into the kitty early and get a bit of a roll on. But do remember, what's gambling really costing you? For free and confidential support, call 1800 858 858 or visit gamblinghelponline.org.au. Timmy, I'm going to let you out with the same thing I talked about last night. It's been a few weeks since we've done it. Have you got any suggestions? TV, movie, potties? Have you got anything new you've been into lately? I suggested Ricky Stenicki last night. It's on
Yeah.
Amazon. It was loose. Even Casey laughed at it, and she usually thinks my sense of humor is awful, but we got a good giggle out of that.
Mate, I heard you tip into that. The wife and I sort of are intending to sit down when we get a spare couple of hours, which with a toddler is not exactly the easiest thing to do. Mate, I've been actually getting through Shogun on Disney. Feudal Japan, Samurai, absolutely fantastic, gory as hell, subtitles. So it's basically power struggle within Japan, and at the same time some raiders come in from Portuguese raiders, you know, pirates, and a guy gets trapped there, and just the power shifts and the violence and stuff like that. So I'm slowly working my way through that, mate, but yeah, I'm going very, very slow because of family and other commitments and work and traveling. So that's the one at the minute, mate. The other stuff, it is kicked a little bit down the line for in the middle of June with some shows returning. So I'm just trying to get through that. Actually digging back into a favorite show of mine, It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. You know, it's up towards about 19 seasons now. The amount of Instagram reels I've seen pop up, and it sort of got the better of me. So digging back in when I get 20 minutes just to chill it at night and having a couple of episodes there, mate, is sort of taking a bit of my interest. But I am lacking in that space in the last little bit, and mate, I've got a backlog of movies that is going to take me about 6 months to get through. So Ricky Stenicki is there. It's on the list, mate. So I've just got to find some time.
Well, let's put it this way. It was better than I expected. I thought it would be funny, but it was better than I thought.
Yeah, no, mate. That's yeah, maybe next weekend, maybe the weekend after, maybe the month after. We'll see how we get on.
There you go. Well, everybody, fingers crossed we have another week like we did last week, and you can find yourself with a bit of cash. But regardless of that, fingers crossed your teams win and you have a fantastic weekend. Thank you again, Timmy. It's been fantastic talking to your champion.
And to you too, my friend. I'll catch you next week.
And everybody out there, thank you for listening in. Keep the feedback coming. Rate and review on iTunes. Send through your movie, TV, and pod suggestions. We always have a good bit of back and forth. There's been some cracker suggestions from fans. I've figured out that I need to go on a holiday to New Zealand because apparently there was a KFC train. I think I saw somebody sent me. I want to get on board with that, smother myself in gravy. But for now, that wraps us up. So enjoy your week and enjoy your rugby league.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.